Scram McFly. We're checking out the Scene Snobs.
Hey everybody, it's CJ Graham, Jason Voorhees. That's right, Friday the 13th, part 6. And you're listening to the scenesnobs.com.
Welcome to the Scene Snobs podcast.
What's going on? Oh, Scene Snobs, good.
Oh, look at there. What's up, Frank? It's a pleasure to see you. Really excited.
I got my best garbs on. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, you know what? Well, I just changed back from being a werewolf, so I'm stark naked. And it's uncomfortable for everyone.
I love the costume that you've chosen for this evening. Casey, the Madman plot is live via satellite footage from L.A. He's out in Los Angeles this week for work. Well, that's 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks, bro. I mean, it's going. This has been some serious work. A lot going on.
Yeah, man. And I'm still here in Virginia.
Gorgeous as ever, by the by.
Thank you. I did get a haircut. I did shave the beard for this green mess on my face. And we, you know, it's not just Frankie over here, or Frank Mon. And then it's not just the man here as the wolf man after changing back.
Post werewolf, which is really the most terrifying thing ever, is just running around naked. Like, who wants that?
We do have the king here, the man. Very special guest tonight. We're going to be bringing him on in just a few minutes. We're going to cover the show. We'll cover a few things real quick, and then we're going to bring him on. Not only, I'm not going to give away his costume.
Please don't.
Not only does he fit the motif, and I promise you, we didn't all plan this.
We didn't plan this at all. In fact, I was just jumping on as a naked man, and then it got better.
It's true. We did just give it to you. So I want to go through. I want to say hi to some everybody watching right now. John, what's going on, buddy? Love having you. And Kenny, my friend. Whiskey's here. Kathleen. Casey, you seem to be missing something. He seems to not be missing it. It's right down below. Trust me.
It's right before. Where it needs to be, and it's just hanging.
Paul is here. Y'all wild. This is why I watch y'all. Yeah, we get crazy. John has way more Casey than I expected to see. It's not a bad look, though. Oh,
thanks, man. I figured I'd try something different.
Kathleen. And naked Mick face. I know, I shaved the beard. I know, it's terrible. Maybe I should just wear green face more often. And of course, Ron, CRP, looking like a buff tattoo, Justin Timber
naked.
Wow,
so Ron's drunk.
Ron's drunk, yeah. Ron's drunk. welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Just so you guys know, it's our Halloween show.
Woohoo! In case you were not sure. Surprise.
We're so excited to be here. In fact, you know, it's our Halloween show. Before I bring our buddy on, I'm going to change up the color scheme just a little bit. No, that's not good. I need better orange. There we go.
That's nice. Almost a burnt sienna, but not quite. I'm a fan. It's almost pumpkin.
It's a solid orange. I like that orange. So we are here, and we're enjoying it. We have quite a few topics to talk about tonight, but real quick, I did want to say something. I want to get up on my soapbox for a second if I can.
Here we go.
So we all know the news that came out of the film Rust. You know, I want to say rest in peace, Lena Hutchins, who was the director of photography on this movie, who was shot at, you know, because of an unfortunate event that occurred on set, and the director, of course, was also injured. And I just want to say, like, I've been seeing a lot of memes that are really making fun of Alec Baldwin. Now, whatever you feel about Alec Baldwin as a person, I don't care. Like, I know I liked him on 30 Rock. I like some of his movies, but as a person, things I've seen, I set aside, like, that doesn't matter. We need to really stop being cruel with the memes and stuff like that. It's not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. Unfortunately, he was at the end of this incident. It was not his job to check. It was not his, you know, he is literally the talent. He was handed to him. It should have been checked on many steps since. Fault lies where fault lies, and we're going to let them handle that. You know, we're not here to say that, but really think about if you're going to be sharing these memes and things like that, because it's truly cruel to do that. The man is distraught enough. It's hardcore, and it's just cruel at this point. And let's not be cruel. Let's be kind.
Yeah, let's avoid any cruelness we can. This is a horrific tragedy and an absolute terrible accident. Unfortunately, there are supposed to be steps in place to prevent that. There are supposed to be people whose responsibility is to make sure that this exact tragedy doesn't happen. Those steps failed. This was a mistake. Horrible, horrible loss of life. And I don't think making light of the situation is positive in any way, nor does it further the conversation that needs to be had about protecting people in this career field.
And there's a lot out there that I would say, don't make this a political issue about guns. It is a completely different thing. Just let's figure out, let the investigations go where they're going to go. Let that happen. Let's see what happens. But leave Alec Baldwin alone. Like,
yeah,
it's just cruel. It's not nice. And you're kind of a dickhead if you share it. So that's what we're going to say. But we're gonna get into the fun stuff.
Let's get the fuck out of that venue and welcome back.
Now let's get to the Halloween. And we're going to bring on our guest, the man. The myth.
The man.
The legend. We've talked about this. He's been on the show before. He is a legend.
He is.
And he is the king of the night. Dracula. Hello, sir.
Yo, what up,
bro? How's it going, guys?
Tim, I'm so happy to have you on, man. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. It's tough to talk in these things, but otherwise we're doing all right.
Well, I mean, if you look that good, you just got to commit, bro.
We'll give it five, and then once everyone sees, we can we'll get in a better situation.
You know, we're all in theme tonight. Casey's the Wolfman after he transforms back. You, of course, are the man Dracula. I'm doing my best to be Frankenstein.
Ooh, oh yeah, and you're crushing Frankenstein's monster. Let's not forget Frankenstein's monster.
We got the creature here. So
see, I was excited to see you be Ted Lasso.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to do that, but the stupid mustache kept falling off. So I was like, I can't do this. And plus, I looked a lot more like Farva.
I was going to say, I know it was just because you were disappointed over the Farva aspect. So
it was hardcore Farving. Well, this was the original plan the whole time. I was going to do, I even have like green sort of on my hands. but it was, you know, this was the plan the whole time. Unfortunately, I should not shave my beard.
Why? You look fantastic. Beard. You're crushing it.
Thank you, Case. I appreciate
fantastic
that.
As always, bro. And now you ain't fuck the haters, huh?
We do have a lot of fun people watching. Great people, actually. John Wasp, of course, Manscaped episode. No, we.
Oh, Manscaped, that's so strong. Dang, bro.
It would be. It would be if we still were sponsored by Manscaped. But we do love them, though. They are a great product.
Yes.
Katie. Oh, my God. Everyone looks so good. Katie, thank you for watching.
Katie.
Ron says, both our hosts are well shorn.
Ron, this is actually genetics. I, unfortunately, can grow no body hair.
I love it. Don't say that. Then maybe we'll get Manscaped back.
balls. I mean Manscaped.
It's all Manscaped. Alex has had issues, but nobody should be thinking about that right now. You're right. True, dude. It was such an awful accident. I was also thinking very much about the crow that day. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of heartbreak. I'm glad you guys are on the same page.
Don't worry, Kathleen. Neither do we ever. We're like the abyss in this son of a bitch. We never know when it's going
to
happen.
It's very rare. But when I see something that I feel like I need to speak up on, I will do it. We are not funny. We're not addicts. We're snobs. So we have to be snobby. And that's why we went real.
Yeah.
I'm picking on her because of her shows.
Funny Science Fiction Podcast and Podcast Addicts. Check them out.
True. Was not expecting Transylvania Tim. Look at that. Look at how good Tim looks.
Amazing, dude. He's got that great Christopher Lee. This is the Hammer Dracula, bro. He's crushing it.
I love that Katie's watching, and she's not watching because Tim was going to be on the show. She didn't know he was going to be on the show, so I love you, Katie. Thank you. Kathleen, you're just missing Abbott and Costello. We're not missing them.
Are we, though?
Yeah. John, are we being funny again? Because I still haven't seen Ron in a prom dress yet.
Nobody wants that. Actually, no, it's a lie. I do want that.
I want that too. That.
Yeah.
Radar. Never seen Casey without his head right.
I know, right?
That's Halloween, though. He can't be himself. It's a wig.
Yeah.
I think they're just astonished you have hair because I've never seen it.
Always a shocking reality of how much hair, too.
Ooh. Yes. Vampires can't just take their fangs out, Tim. Commit to the bit. Oh, John called you, man. You got to keep them in.
No. Hey, you know what? Do what feels right.
So says the naked guy. Tim looking like my creepy uncle from the restraining order. Oh, leave Tim alone. He's fantastic.
Wait. Your uncle is a vampire, Ron? That you got bigger problems, bro.
Filed his teeth down, goes over to his house.
Right? Like, I gotta be normal.
Sometimes when there's set strategies, sad snobs. Yes, we do get sad snobs. Sometimes.
On occasion. Surely.
You know, January 6th, May 28th, I could go on and on.
Thanks for calling them all out. Holy shit, it's been a rough year. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Gotta be called out sometimes because Black Lives Matter. Thanks for plugging the show, guys. I appreciate the love. Absolutely. So we got to the comments. Now we're going to get to the topics.
What?
Now, this episode was birthed from, unfortunately, Dan could not join us tonight. He had a prior engagement. We would have loved to have them, but we had Dan and Tim on Real Combat going head to head with their movies. And the champion is here with Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. So, I mean, it works. I mean, it just, he defended it through and through and then dressed as the man. That's crazy. We were talking about the bar from Dracula Has Risen to the Grave, which is a very cool looking bar. It's an awesome set. It's like almost like a log cabin type of place.
Yep.
Casey would love to work there. I know
it. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to work in most of these bars in horror movies. Like, I think it'd be fantastic because the bartender barely ever gets it, right?
Yeah. Well, Tim had brought up the bar and how cool the bar looks. And actually, I want to ask you a question, Tim, because now that I've seen the movie off of your recommendation, does it make you think, like, is it a German style? I kind of get an American Revolutionary War time style.
I don't know. I mean, the glasses are pretty, you know, you get your German, traditional German glasses. The dress is pretty traditional. And the size, I would think, goes more towards a German pub as well. Like, those are, pubs in Europe are very intimate and much smaller. All space is much smaller in Europe generally, outside of maybe your big cathedrals and stuff. So, I mean, I've only been to UK pubs, but I definitely still got more of like a European vibe out of it.
Yeah, it's
very And to me, like, that American Revolutionary War style is very colonial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I watched that show, Casey actually turned me on to it. It was Turn. Mm-hmm. Yes, Turn. It gave me that type of feel. So, okay. Like, it was very much like the Europeans came over and just built this.
That's kind of what happened.
Right. The look I enjoy, but it was always the vibe that I liked. Like, it just, that just looks like a raucous time. Not a lot of women in that bar, but otherwise a lot of fun.
No, back then it was more about the we're going to go home and take the women sort of feel.
Fair enough.
And then they get mad at Dracula for taking the women. It was very weird.
Get mad at Dracula for a lot of things. I don't know if it was just taking the women. I think the whole murdering and turning them into the undead was maybe more problematic.
Yeah, but it was Christopher Lee. So was he taking them, or were they like, yeah, make me immortal with you and have you?
The barmaid is definitely 100% into Christopher Lee. So much so that she's very upset that she doesn't get Christopher Lee.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole trance thing that vampires do. So can we really say they actually wanted him, or were they under a trance the whole time?
I got the feeling that it was like Christopher Lee on set, like, you know, I'm going to be in Star Wars one day, right? And this is like 1972, and he's like, I'm going to be in Star Wars one day as Count Dooku.
Well, then there's also Peter Cushing there going, well, I'll be Grand Moff Tarkin about 20 years before you, so.
Well, funny thing, this one wasn't Cushing.
No, this was is not Van Cushing. Helsing one? No, yeah, there's no Van Helsing in this movie. There's an atheist baker / college student and a failed priest.
It's an interesting case. You'd like this one. It's called Dracula Has Risen from the Grave.
Never did actually watch that one. Yep.
It's number four.
I've only seen two Hammers.
Yeah,
two Hammer Draculas, if I've seen. Okay.
Yep.
Yes, Kathleen, we always have topics. We just never get to them. Exactly. No, this time we're going to get to them because Tim and Dan, when they were on the show, were actually talking about this based off of this conversation about pubs and bars from horror movies. And just kind of, I wanted to get into it, like what pubs and bars would we, from a horror movie that we'd most like to spend time in. And also just like some of our favorites. So, you know, Tim, because this was birthed from you, I'm going to let you go first. You know, why don't you name one or two that you really would love to be in?
Oh, let's see. And we talked about some earlier, so I'll leave some for Casey. But
okay. I just jump in. You're the important one.
No, one bar that's really cool actually is the I think it's the Green Man Bar from The Wicker Man, 1973. Oh. Mm-hmm. So okay. Like, not only does it look like a really awesome bar to be in, but like that whole scene where he comes in, as the constable from out of nowhere, and like the whole bar just like record scratches and like stares him down for a minute, and then they all just kind of go back to partying, like that, and it, you get another. We're back in Europe. We're back in the UK actually for this one, for that pub, but it just, I don't know. It just feels like a really good time is had there. Now we know what eventually happens in The Wicker Man, obviously, but. It's a very good atmosphere.
You know, actually I will go a step further with it as well. Like that original bar is pretty legit. Like that's one that I wouldn't mind hanging out in. I get a very Cheers vibe in it, but with like more of a stoic crowd.
Yeah. It's the Slaughtered Lamb, which is another bar from American Werewolf in London. Without being as depressive, right? Like,
right. Because that place is awful. Like, yeah. The Slaughtered Lamb, everyone's annoyed and unhappy and sad, and it's just everyone's
well, they're
just
stuck
drinking.
In there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fair, too.
They just got to drink and drink their whole lives. You know what it is? Like, with the Wicker Man, like, they do have the fiddle going. You know, they're really just enjoying it. It's a really fun time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but a much better place. It's happier. It's joyful. Now, when you find out why they're that way, let's not discuss that. Let's not focus on the why. Let's just have a party. Right, guys? That's what I'm saying. If you want to go to the bar, that's the experience you're looking for.
Exactly. I mean, when you get to the bar, you're just looking for a fun time. What happens afterwards? That's just the night, you know?
That sounds like, yeah, exactly. But just as long as you remember nothing good happens after 2 a.m., there probably wouldn't be Wicker Man incidents.
It's true.
That's true. That's true. So, hey, they needed light, so they lit them up. I will say this. I do like that bar. One that really, for me, that I kind of dig. All right. So, like, one that I really liked, but I'm not cool enough anymore to hang out in, is the bar from Death Proof.
You'll get there. You go.
I'll get there. It.
Congratulations.
I know I can hang out in that bar. Again, I'm not as cool as I used to be. I'd be like Stuntman Mike without being cool.
Well, first of all, pump the brakes, Chief. You'd be perfectly fine in there. In fact, I think you'd fit perfectly, especially the way you look now.
Oh, no, I know I'd be fine. I wouldn't, like, he doesn't come after me. He goes after women. It ain't me. I ain't gonna worry. My thing is, I'd be like, not in my 20s anymore. I'm like rounding home towards 40.
Rounding home.
Rounding home. I'm like almost there. I'm like 4 months away from 40. I don't think I'm too welcome in this bar.
See, that's bullhorn. I think you could totally sit at the bar and enjoy yourself a couple beverages and accept the fact that you're not going to pull any tail, as the kids say.
Don't need it anymore.
Right, holler.
But I will say, hey, I pulled tail in my 20s.
Yeah, I remember that was, a decade ago?
Shut your mouth, you bastard. Shit, you did know me in my 20s. Anyway, for me, I like that bar. I would definitely eat the nachos. They looked delicious.
Right?
But one bar I would not want to be in, hands down, and we talked about it earlier, is the Titty Twister from Dusk Till Dawn.
That's a tough bar to go to. I mean... Half the time, it seems like a really hopping place. Half the time.
Yeah.
Half the, well, yeah, specifically our time. Yeah. I am on the other side of the fence there. I think it'd be amazing. I would love to hang out with the Titty Twister. Are you kidding me? There's a guy there whose dick is a gun, guys. Like, I would be that one wandering table to table. Like, hey, guys, his penis is a gun. How cool is this guy, right?
And he just happens to be Tom Savini?
Right. And his name is Sex Machine. Come on.
A.K.A. Sex
Machine. Come on. How are you not that amazing? Like, that would be the tits.
Yeah.
And Selma Hayek is going to dance there. You're going to have stunning women all over the place. You're going to have Danny Trejo as your bartender, bro. Come on. And if I'm going to become a vampire, where else do I want to be at said bar?
No, because you're enslaved there.
No, you're a vampire. You're having a blast.
They're all enslaved. She says
it. Well, you go wander outside and talk to Cheech Marin. I'm sure it's a great time.
For what? So like 8 hours a night, maybe.
Hold on. Mick, aren't we all slaves technically to the jobs that we have to do and the things we have to do to ourselves to make money and get in through in this society?
That's true. There's room and board there. Where else are you going?
I don't know. Maybe again, it's the 40-year-old in me, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm like, I guess I'm getting curmudgeon-y when it comes to bars because I'm like, I don't know if I want to be here.
Oh, no, I don't like normal bars. But that bar I'd be all about because that bar I would become the undead and live forever and have a blast hanging around gorgeous women who are just all like, you know, naked and vampire-y.
See, yeah. that bar reminds me of a bar that we have around here. It's called Mulligan's. And so my buddy went there one day and they were having an exhibitionist show, like where people were hanging from their piercings. No idea that was going on, was not advertised outside the bar at all, but he just happened to be there the night that show was going on. That's one of those things where it's like, go for a pint of Guinness at Mulligan's, and then all of a sudden you are in for something you were not ready for.
I think back to 29-year-old me and I'm like, game on. I'm like, anything is fun for me. I'm all about it. And then I think to 39 and I'm like, but I'm tired and my knees hurt. And like the
now when you're the undead, all of those problems go away and all you have is hunger. And since I already have hunger every day, might as well just make that the only big thing I have to worry about.
Right? When I'm a giant and I would need way more blood than the other vampires and they'd get mad at me. They would get mad 100% and try and stake me themselves. You make a good point about the gun penis thing. It cannot be denied. I don't know if I agree with that. Where are the women saying that? Also, Snake Woman is very important. Oops, exhibitionism. 29-year-old me is on par with 39-year-old me.
Let's put on someone's tombstone. Oops, exhibitionism.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oops, exhibitionism. That might be on mine after this one.
But Clive Barker can hang out at the Titty Twister. Oh, no, at the Mulligan's. That's what she means.
Yeah.
Piercing. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at Timmy's got. Oh, Tim, I love the fact that you're drinking blood. I really appreciate that.
Tim comes prepared, man. He's a horror guru.
Yeah.
I do my best.
Well, your best is fantastic and way more than the rest of us. So well done, sir.
It's true. So with that being said, what are some bars that for you guys in horror movies, you're like, I'm staying away from there at all costs?
Tim, what you got?
Feast. I am staying out of the bar and Feast oh so much. It looks like nothing but a bad time and everyone is pissed off. That doesn't even look like a bar I want to drink in. That looks like in a bar that you'd walk in like South Boston and you just would not, like they would just not let you in. They just eye you down the whole time and you'd walk out.
Yep. No, there are places like that where they're all staring at you the whole time. And it's like, I just want this beverage. And they're like,
Now, as far as great bar scenes in horror movies, because this is like kind of two things, right? There's great bars in horror movies and there's great horror scenes in bars. Now, the horror scene in Feast is awesome, and it's all in the bar, and Henry Rollins is in that movie, and there's not really much more that needs to be said about that movie other than Henry Rollins is in it, and that craziness ensues.
Pretty much covers
it. Yeah. I remember, a lot of people don't remember, though, with that movie. I'm sure you guys do. That was part of, at the time, I think it was Bravo, but it was Wes Craven and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon teamed up to do Project Greenlight.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And that was the first Project Greenlight movie, and it was Clu Gulager's son, who did it, John Gulager, and now it's his movie.
Yeah, let me tell you, for someone to get a project greenlit and to get at least a 5 out of 10 on, you know, IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, like, kudos to that person, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, some people think that's a rough score, but, like, to get in that range and with a horror movie that was greenlit on Bravo, I mean, it's not a perfect movie by any means, but it's worth watching, especially, and as far as great, like, horror scenes and bars, like, it's definitely up there.
Well, that's like a completely random one with Adam Baldwin in Thirst. I don't know if anyone else heard or watched of Thirst, but that was a pretty awful low-end movie that was greenlit as well through that
project. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, kind of going back, Zombies, that was also made. I know, because I'm in it.
Which the bar in Zombies is very similar to another bar, like, say, in Demon Knight. So Zombies was a fantastic bar to go to because what was his name? Mick, what was the gentleman's name who was kind of the semi-hero?
Johnny Backhand Vegas.
Johnny Backhand Vegas. You're gosh darn tootin'. And I will continue to bring this up. His
slapping hand is strong.
He says that. Those are words that were lines that were then used by an actor. It was fantastic.
I got nothing on Zombies, guy, but I feel like I need to watch it now.
Oh, yes, you do. Hey, there's a giant zombie, you'll notice, during a hallway scene going back and forth, smashing against walls, and it could be none other than our very own McManhattan.
There it is.
It was me. And now that you've seen me with no facial hair, you'll recognize me.
Yep.
I might have gotten away with it if I didn't shave my face. Yes, I was in that movie. I was in a few movies, but that was definitely one of them.
Not as good as that one, though.
So, yeah. So like, are you McManhattan on IMDb? Like, is it like when I look up Joe Bob, he shows up as Bloom?
I am more like Joe Bob. My real name is being used, so I will send you the page, but I'm not giving it up on the show.
You're not, huh?
No, come on, don't stop. Stop being naked. Drink your sake. I will say this, though. As far as bars go, you know, I need a good old-fashioned American bar to hang out in. And now if time isn't an issue, if dying isn't an issue, I'm hanging out 100% in the Winchester.
Yep. Bing.
They said you want an American bar.
Yeah, that's an American bar.
Although the Winchester was in the UK.
It is.
That's what they said.
Oh, it's set. Okay. I didn't know where that was filmed. Is that filmed
in California? I don't care what country you say you're from. If you walk out of a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning singing White Lines by Grandmaster Flash and Fab Five, it's an American bar.
Flowing through my mind.
I love it. Stop being naked and drink your stuff. That's going to be tomorrow's review of the show.
Yes, it is. That's it right there. That's the tagline. Stop being naked and drink your sake.
Exhibitionism.
I might actually change
the exhibitionism as the headstone. I love that.
I might actually change the name, the title of this episode to Stop Being Naked, Drink Your Sake. It works out well. You know,
No, so, accidental universal.
It is accidental universal. You're right. So what's a bar that you guys would desperately like? Okay, so some of us were torn on the Titty Twister, but can we all agree the bar from Near Dark is a dismal, just hellscape of a place to hang out in?
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Take the vampires out of it, and it still looks like it sucks.
Yeah, I'm not going there, man. That's you go there because your friend said, bro, you got to check this place out. So you go over and check this place out, and you realize he's only been to three places in his whole life outside of his house. So it's unfortunate, and it's sad, and you have to be like, oh, yeah, it's great.
Looks like the place where they don't clean their beer line, so you just get, like, super drunk or, like, sick off craft beer. So you only
– Yeah.
When in doubt, always, you know, grab a glass of, you know, whatever they have. It could be, you know, you know, Bud Light or Miller Light, but if it's in a glass, it's much better than draft if you don't trust the bar.
You never, ever trust the bar lines, man. Like, and, if you walk in and you question that, yeah, do not trust the or at least ask for a runoff. Be like, would you just give me a whole pint and then dump it? And then I'll take the next one.
I remember watching an episode in Bar Rescue where, like, he went back in their bar lines. And I, like, ever since then, I'm just like, if I don't know this bar or if it's not a brewery, I'm probably, and they only serve, like, two beers, like, probably just going to ask for a can or, a glass bottle.
Well, as someone who has worked in a older bar and for some time, always ask for the runoff. Just saying.
You never told me that, you asshole.
Yeah, you go fuck yourself. I just gave you the runoff because I am not a douchebag.
That's why I love you.
Another bar I think I'd love to go to, but I don't know if I'd want to go to, is the bar. So I don't think it has a name, but the Stanley Hotel Bar in The Shining.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only during the summer.
Great bar. No, when there's parties going on and galas and events, that would be amazing.
Now, during it is summer. An amazing looking bar, but I don't know if I'm ready to sell my soul for a drink.
If you go during the summer, you're fine.
Also, that bartender is mean. Like, and he follows you into the bathroom.
No, like, that was Grady. Grady was the other
one. I mean, that's literally what I did. That's where I learned how to be a bartender.
No, you were a nice bartender. People liked you.
Yeah, but I still forced everything on them. Like, you want this next one.
That's true. That is true. I will say thank you to John. But because Katie's upset and wants to know where the IMDb page is, just go to thescenesnobs.com. There's a link to the IMDb right there, and you can find me from there. I will say, what is it? In the movie, it's the Gold Room. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that, because there are other bars. It's not just that one. Mm-hmm. That was just like where the big gala parties were.
I'll tell you, that's one of the tougher things about this is actually finding the name of the bar. Like, remember going, I was like, oh yeah, I know all these bars, but what is the name of the Wicker Man bar? Oh, it's the Green Man bar. You might see it signed like one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've got to catch it like and figure out what it is. Well, that was a Slaughtered Lamb. I barely remembered it was a Slaughtered Lamb until we verified that.
Yeah. That's for me, like I've never really, like, the Titty Twister I knew. The Gold Room I know, but only John reminded me. So, like, it was straight up a needed to be reminded. But most of the time, like, Slaughtered Lamb I kind of knew because I think that's become more popular over time. Like, well known. Because I think some band called themselves the Slaughtered Lamb. They probably played there.
There's other ones. There's... So one of the spots that I can tell you we absolutely never want to go to, and especially this is an old age comment. So you brought up the old age thing, and I've got a couple spots that we should never go to. Queen of the Damned, don't go to that fucking club.
Oh, God.
Just don't do it.
What about the rave club from Blade?
Oh, bro.
I would 100% go to the rave club from Blade. Watching that movie the other day, like, I don't care if there's blood coming from the ceilings. Like, that place looks wild,
right? It does,
but in the way you're dressed, you're safe.
But... yeah, I mean, I would, like, so I got, like, a vest on and stuff under the, I dropped the cape, but I think otherwise I could make it work. I'd probably open the shirt a little bit because, like, you have to get that, like, 2000s, like, grubby, like, European look where you're just, like, the open shirt and, like, you look like you're either coked out or, you know, been on Molly for God knows how long and, like.
Fuck yes, the classic Stephen Dorff look.
Yeah, Stephen Dorff, who's in that film.
It's
like that's his look. In his fucking blue commercial ads, he still looked exactly the same 20 years later.
It's like it's like they filmed it from the same bar from Bad Boys 2, which is
oh my God. And that's from Armageddon. He shot in Armageddon in that bar too.
No way. That's the one where the sex scene when Stephen Buscemi is hooking up with a chick. Yeah.
Yeah, when they have, like, it's like crazy, and they have the VIP section, all the guys are, like, you're hogging all the women, and it's, like, that's the same bar where Will Smith is, like, looking at the chick's foot or whatever and, like, doing his little weird head thing from Bad Boys.
Yeah.
But who's the Russian who runs that bar? That's Strohmeyer, right? Never been in a horror bar, but, like, he should have been. He's, like, the best, like, oh, man.
He's best everything. I mean, his Lucifer was fantastic. I think that was the best devil I've ever seen on screen. And I put that above Pacino's Devil's Advocate.
He also does a great vampire voice in the Castlevania show. He's the Viking vampire. Yeah, yeah. I'm blanking on the name, but
I would, you know what, for me, I would love to go to the VFW bar from VFW.
VFWs are generally a good spot. I've only been to a couple, like in, no, home, but in hometown, but like those are, there's some hard people in that bar, but like it's a generally a good time and they always serve stiff drinks. Like,
yeah, I grew up with the VFW.
No one's underserving at the VFW.
Yeah, my grandpa was one of the presidents. Yeah, one of the presidents of the VFW. So I already, that was part of my life, bro. I'm good. I know what's happening there. I'm fine.
Yeah, they don't like when you order iced water.
No.
I'll tell you that much right now.
It's a dick move, Nick. It's a dick move.
It is not a dick move. Sometimes you just need a little drinky drink of water to quench the thirst to get to the beer. I will say this, though, but the actual movie VFW, it'd be cool to hang out William Sadler and all the rest of them.
But I can get that in, like, you know, Demon Night. I can get old Billy Sadler hanging out and serving me drinks.
Yeah, so we do have to talk about the bar in Demon Night because we brought it up a couple times. Casey, I'll let you lead the way on this one.
All right, well, I think it's actually one of the better spots to go to if I know that no one's going to kill me, because down the street we have the really good barbecue. Right. So you got the good food on the way to them. And then there you can also get drunk and crash in a nice bed. Now, the view is fantastic because you're on the highway, a random highway where you're off the general beaten path, and you can get drunk and safely fall asleep, get up and just keep on cruising. There also happens to be a stunning young lady who would be more than happy to take her time making sure that you're comfortable during your stay. So, I mean, really, it's a win-win-win.
Comfortable is like a loose term.
Yeah, I use it loosely. I'm also naked on live internet, so I mean, whatever.
You see, how many bottles of sake did you have before?
Only the show seven. Started? I don't know why everyone's freaking out about this. It's seven, right? It's totally fine.
Dude.
The dream bar in Demon Night, though, my favorite part about it is not only, you know, there's beautiful women there, but Dick Miller finally gets his. That man is one of the hardest working men in show business. Yeah. And he gets possessed, but he doesn't get blown up. He doesn't get murdered by killbots or, you know, tied up by tiny toys. Like he gets his, and he gets what he's looking for. And, you know, it doesn't end well, but if there's a way to go, that's definitely got to be one of the ways up there.
That was a great way to go. That was fantastic.
I think he was kind of happy with that way to go.
Who would be?
And Billy Zane is my bartender?
Come on.
I mean, and he like sells that whole scene. Like he eats that, like he eats the screen in the entire movie. And like, I know probably talked about Demon Night before, but man, like that movie, not only is it a great bar, but it is a great like horror movie in general. And
it, really one,
it seems to be rediscovered now, but like it did not get its due in its time.
Oh, it never did. And it was one of my favorites growing up. It was one of those that I had the opportunity, like my stepdad was like, we can stay up late and watch this when it hit network television. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy crap. Like it was a big deal. I would love that movie. And then I just recently, actually a month ago or beginning of this month, I got to share that with someone who'd never seen it before. And it just blew their mind. They're like, wow, this is a great movie, because it really was. It's a lot of fun. It's absurd. There's great deaths. You know, Jada Pinkett Smith crushes it.
Yes.
She was wonderful. CCH Founder was so good. Her arms ripped off for half the fucking movie, and she's amazing with that.
Yeah, that one kills it. Bortello of Blood, it's all right. I like it, but I like the cheese, and like I'll never say an ill word about anything from Tales from the Crypt. Even the bad episodes I love, because the Crypt Keeper's in it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and Dennis Miller is still funny.
Dennis Miller is funny. Yeah.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, and it's very absurd, but if you're okay with that, it's great.
Yeah. If you're like have a martini while you like watch like kind of like a guilty pleasure movie, like I think it fits, but you have to be in the mood.
Oh yeah.
Demon Night, there's not a lot of times I'm not in the mood to watch that movie. I love it. And yeah, Bordello of Blood is one that I am never in the mood for. And Angie Everhart, when I was a young teenager, not even a teenager, preteen, was definitely worth always watching, in my opinion. But I just couldn't. I don't know what it is. I don't think Dennis Miller's sarcasm belongs in horror movies.
Hey, you know, at least they tried something.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. It was something different.
Yeah. But Demon Night is the number one, in my opinion, on the Tales from the Crypt movie list. And that bar is pretty, I mean, if I don't know I'm going to die, yeah, that's a bar that I'm cool with. Like, Titty Twister, like, that's a, you're not getting an easy death.
Yeah, it's a hard way to go.
And I really, I still maintain that it's like with the Aztec type of castle that is in, below the Titty Twister, it's probably run like the Church of Scientology. So everyone they turn into werewolves is probably like the ones that then I'm not throwing out interviews or anything for, you know, vampires. I'm probably the one that has to like wear a jumpsuit and like clean things with the toothbrush while getting kicked all the time. Like, I think that's more the speed that the people, the patrons of that bar become. And you have to live 1,000 years before they're like, all right, your turn. You know, because at once every 1,000 years, you got a George Clooney who rolls in and is like, I'm going to kill everybody up top. And then you move up.
Maybe, or while you're down there, you could have like, you could show up and be like, yo, I'm Quetzalcoatl, reborn, bitches. Like, you know, there's, you never know. Like, you just have to figure out what part of like Mayan or Aztec culture you are. And then decide if you're supposed to, like, you know, maybe play basketball with the heads of your enemies. As long as you can fit in, you should be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't do it. I would definitely go, like, ultimately with the Wicker Man, with the Slaughtered Lamb, you know, all of these bars where, like, you're going to die if you step foot into them. I would prefer the ones that I don't know that I'm going to die. Like, I'm going in and I'm leaving, and I don't know that I'm going to die in it. Tim, like, not leaving, which one falls, like, you in line know for you?
Which one falls in line for you? So if there's one you know you're walking into drunkenly, you have no concern in your life in the world, which one are you walking into?
Death Proof. Because then I walk out. I know I do. I'm not a woman. And I don't have nice feet, so Tarantino's not killing me. All right. If I really have to choose the one from My Bloody Valentine. It is a dive bar through and through. It is.
But the party in the mines is better.
Right. Wait. Are we talking the remake? I'm talking about the original.
Oh, I'm talking about the original as well. They party in the mines.
Yeah, that's true. They do party in the mines. Yeah. But I'm too old for the mines, so I have to go to the bar.
The bar's cool. Like, I that was another one I had on the list for sure.
Be stuck with the foosball table.
Yeah, I mean, like, Casey's my bartender. We're kind of just chilling out. Hopefully by that point he has clothes on. If he doesn't, I'm still cool with it. You know, it is what it is.
A lot of people are really shocked over the naked thing. It's kind of nice.
What's up, y'all? Just doesn't have a shirt on. Calm down. I'm sticking to that right now.
Right. yep.
That's the one I'm going with. I do want to say, like, we do have another topic I kind of wanted to get to.
I wasn't done because I had one more.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
There. I have one more. Just one more I have to
do. I'll throw out some honorary mentions after that. And yes, we can move on because I have a lot to say about the next time.
All right. You guys go.
Okay, so I only have one club I would go to. Only one. Only one legitimate club that I would go to. I understand the Blade thing seems cool as shit, but for me, it's the American Werewolf in Paris. Being underneath that church, that cathedral, and partying in there would be rad as all get out. So if I didn't know I was going to die, and I mean, unfortunately with werewolves, you're just torn to shreds. There's no real getting out of that. So if I had a spot to go, that would be it.
Yeah. So, but before I get onto the honorary mentions, you say clubs. Was the Lost Boys, was that a club with the dude with the saxophone?
That was the beach. They were just partying.
They were just hanging out. Okay. I was going to say, but that would be also a really sick place to check out.
Fuck yeah.
So honorary mentions, the bar in Gremlins. We have Dory's Tavern. Now, would I think I'd like to drink there. It seems like it'd be a cool place to drink, but I like that scene is just incredible. Probably I always look at Gremlins more as a Christmas movie, but a lot of people look at it as horror. So I'd throw that one in there. And then the bar from Grabbers. 2012 Irish movie. Now that is a bar I'd want to drink in, and those people get drunk. Like they go for it in that movie because they kind of have to. Now I'm not gonna. It's no spoilers, but like that bar, they get after it at that bar quite a bit. So those are two. And then if you watch any Universal or Hammer movie, 90% of them start in a bar or they hold. because like the guy comes into town, he goes to the tavern, someone says something foreboding to him, and then, you know, chaos ensues. But there is always people at the bar. So, I mean, those are every one of those has a good pub. The Invisible Man has a good pub. Dracula's got a good pub. Like,
you know what? That's to interject for a second. The Invisible Man pub is pretty righteous. That is a pretty cool pub.
That's a cool one as well. And like, it always seems like in the early ones, it's kind of like a safe spot, right? Like your safe room is the pub because everyone's there. The town gathers at the tavern. You can't be messed with at the tavern. And then it's when you leave is when all, you know, chaos ensues.
Every time.
Versus like 70s and 80s and beyond, like the action comes to the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? And I do like that breakup that you made. You pointed that out at the beginning of the show too, that the chaos does ensue later movies. And it is like, it's almost like a hub in the original, like the meeting place. Like, you know, I'm just reiterating everything Tim says. So I'm smart. Who's the Frankenstein and who's the Dracula here?
Hey, that's directly out of How to Make Friends and Influence People. They just say what they said back and keep asking questions. Those are your two.
And that's Seridum.
That's Seridum. A lot of eye contact.
We've made this podcast the most popular of all time because I just repeat what the guests say. I will say, like, to Katie's point and to your point about the beach party, being from Jersey, the shore, we've had lots of those. Plus, from living in LA, like Venice does that all the time. Those are fun. Not bars, so I'm not going to take it away, but like that is a place, like if we're talking about like venues to go hang out in, if we like expand it a little bit more, yeah, that would be one that I would want to hang out. That would be a party that night that I want to hang out on in Santa Carla.
Yeah, but then you've got to add beaches in then too, because then there's Party at Horror Beach, like from the 50s. Like there's the greasers are snapping and doing their thing.
Yes,
we need to save that one because I want to have that conversation too. There are a lot of fun ones.
Oh man, beach horror is incredible.
Yes. There's greaser horrors too. Let's do this thing. Let's get across the board. I got bikers on bikers. Let's do it.
Love it. You know what? For me though, like bars are quintessential to horror movies. I feel like they show up in all the best ones. I'm not saying that you have to have one to have a great horror movie. But let's face facts. If you have a bar in your horror movie, it's probably a pretty damn good horror movie.
Well, only would in a bar could you get away saying, you know what? You know, his wife's all right. She's good enough. I take her camping.
Oh, my God. What movie was that again? That was like...
I don't remember, but that's the bar I want to go to in Jacksonville, Florida.
So Tim,
there's like eight people in a plywood shack.
No. Remember, he flew his plane and he landed on the runway.
He landed in the water. He had an amphibious plane, bro, and he taxied up to a place.
No, he did do that. You're right. Okay. It was an amphibious plane, but the bar wasn't. It was a runway.
And then he picked up and went later on the water.
So here's the basic premise of this movie. And Tim will probably know it because he knows 60s horror movies. It was some scientist in the bayou was making alligator people.
Isn't it just called Alligator People with Lon Chaney?
Holy son of a bitch, that's it.
I don't know.
Gravy.
I think it's correct.
It's like a cross mutation.
I think that's like one of Lon Chaney's, like, I was really drunk, like in the end of my career movies.
Wasn't that his whole career, though?
I'm trying to remember if it was, because that's the only one I can think of.
Alligator People movie.
This was like one of those, what do they call it? It was almost like the Mr.
I got it. No, that's the name of the article. I can't remember.
I don't have this one. That was the one I got. I've only seen like one movie about alligator people in the bayou.
The Dark Swamp so it's Matter not, or something.
It may not be alligator people as much as it is. I think some of them were like crossbred with alligators. Some of them were like frog. I don't know. It was like weird, but it was like the scientist living in this house that had a greenhouse with a pool in it. It was weird. It was a weird thing. But so a guy, I guess, is going to look at land or whatever. I forget the premise there. He flies his plane in. He goes into this bar hotel thing that's on the runway. He legit flies his plane right up to where this bar was, gets out and goes in the bar. And he's like, hey, I have reservations to stay here. Goes into the bar. So what happened was he was supposed to meet a business partner that he'd never met before. They were working over the phone. And the guy's wife killed that business, the business partner's wife kills him with her lover, and they assume the identity. Oh. So this guy shows up so they could steal like this guy's money or whatever.
This sounds like that really bad Piranha movie.
It was right on par.
It was not Piranha, right on par. That.
But I know it's, that's not what it is, but like that one's like, because like that one's about like diamond heisters and like,
right. Honestly, so this one felt almost like Fletch. Like Fletch 2. It was Fletch 2, but just really poorly done and awful dialogue. And
it was so
one of the best lines they have.
One of the best lines, yes.
Mitch, please.
So he goes into the bar just to set it up. The woman is beautiful. So he goes up to the bar. He's like, hey, I'm supposed to meet such and such. And he's like, well, she didn't show up, but his wife is here. And I think she's ready to take you out. And he's like, really, what's she like? He's like, I wouldn't mind taking her camping. And it was just out of the blue. And you're like,
it's like RoboCop. It's like, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But at least like in RoboCop, they play that like 70 times. So, like the joke on that. This was straight up like the bartender was just like, I would take her into the woods.
I wouldn't mind taking her camping, which it's a swamp area. So the implication there feels very much like he would torture and murder her.
Yeah, well,
it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But
hilarious, though. We have to find that. Darkness waits, darkness falls. There's a darkness, bro. It's darkness something.
I'm going to find this. I'm going to find this line. I'm going to send it to Tim. We're going to somehow work it in. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to edit it into the podcast version of this because it's just too good.
Just randomly pop in and be like, hey, guys, I found it. It's this. And then boop.
All night long, just like, check this out. It's so weird. It's a weird line. I'm sorry. It's just, and Casey and I both, we were just in passing, it was on TV, and Casey just looked at me like, did he just say that? Did he say he's gonna take her camping?
He was cool taking her into the middle of the woods and perhaps, I don't know, decapitating her or just hanging out and camping. Like, what's the level there? Does that mean you enjoy the quiet time? Would you like to be around her with a fire? Maybe you want to make s'mores and hot dogs. I don't fucking know what it means to want to go camping with someone, but it feels like in 1978 that meant some shit.
True. And this wasn't even 78. It was like 62. So you knew it meant some shit. Like, either we go camping and you do as I want, or I'm leaving you for the alligator people. But and it just was weird.
It could also mean I need you to help me ford this river with a Conestoga wagon. Like, we don't know. That's so long ago. Know. That's ancient history, bro. We don't know.
The world may never know.
The world may never
know. And there it is, Tim.
So that's a bar I would want to go to.
I would totally fucking go there, man. That place would be awesome. You know why? Because I'm safe. I'll be fine.
Casey wouldn't be safe. He'd get beat up because he'd be like, don't go camping with this guy. Every woman that walked in there is like, don't go
camping. It's a bad idea. No one go camping with anyone who randomly says they want to go camping with you. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Speaking of alligator people, I look like one. But so let's get into – because we're running low on time. I want to get into the second topic of today. Halloween specials that we feel like we best fit in.
Oh.
I was giving this some thought, and I wasn't quite sure where I would fit. But I wanted to hear what you guys had to say. And, Tim, I know you said you had some lockdown. Like, what do you think?
It's – so this one I've only discovered over the past couple of years, but it is 100% the first three Roseanne Halloween specials. That house and how it's done is like, I grew up in the Roseanne house.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Like,
hell yeah.
Like they went a little harder. Obviously they have a TV budget. They can do certain things, but like there's decorations in that show that my mom owned, like the kind of like cutout skeleton, the paper skeleton that's on the door. Like we had that decoration, and there's decorations in that TV special, especially the first one, that I can pick out immediately. Now, 4 and beyond get a little out there and not so good, much like Roseanne itself. But the first 3 seasons and like of the horror specials are very, very good. And like the family feels very relatable, like John Goodman, like they feel like very real, and like the Halloweens they have feel like Halloweens you could have. Like there's not a lot of like supernatural or hijinks. It's like, oh, like we're gonna have people over for Halloween. My daughters are probably a little too old for it, and they're not into it anymore. Like you get all those vibes, which, you know, I've seen a lot of other Halloween specials. Like a lot of people like Home Improvement as far as like in that timeline as well. And that was never as much of a show that I watched, but those ones, a lot of other people feel, you know, could probably be in that realm as well. But definitely I would go with Roseanne first. I mean, there's other Halloween specials I love, but that's the one as far as like, if I fit into one and like how I would like work into it, like that would be probably the universe. As far as a kid from the Midwest growing up, like that's can't get any closer.
That's fair.
Hey, absolutely. Fair. Yeah.
Case, how about you, bud?
Bro, I am being a New Englander. It was always TGIF block. So Tim and I are very similar on that range. Like it was always that matter of between Family Matters, Full House, anything along those lines. That's where I fit. You know, I fit in those kind of that area, you know, that same style where, yeah, you run around and you have fun trick or treating and then you grow out of it. And then your kid sister wants you to come along and you're like, nah, I'm too cool for you. And you run out and wind up getting into a catch-up fight with this other rival gang down the street. And, you know, that's about the worst of it. So, yeah, it kind of fits like step by step, man.
Did Full House have a lot of them? Family Matters did.
Two that I can remember with Full House. Family Matters had a lot. That was
Family Matters had a ton. I know a lot of people they always did. Really liked that one.
Love that one. That was one of my favorites. Absolutely. And, I mean, Urkel. So... kind of perfect.
Jaleel White.
Yeah. Well, he was way more attractive. It's not like a similar face thing. It's a personality style. Okay.
Stop being mean to yourself. Put on some damn pants, you hippie. go to Venice, you hippie. I'd have to say that at my age, like if at you, Casey kind of knew me in my 20s and he's heard stories. Like, I think in my like teens or 20s, like any Buffy special, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in. Let's fight some demons and shit.
100%.
Yeah. But now that I'm 39, I've settled down and I only go to haunted hotels until they kick me out.
For about 25 minutes.
For about 25 minutes when they give the room away. now I'm more like the Modern Family Halloween specials. Where it's just like you want to try and scare the hell out of the neighbors as best you can. It's almost like you're a normal family until it's Halloween and it's like, I'm going to hang dead bodies from trees in front of my house.
Yeah, I can kind of feel that because we're only what, 4 or 5 months in this house, and I literally went and grabbed a giant Halloween flag and planted it where the American flag was previously.
wasted.
We got blue lights. We got orange lights outside. We just said Halloween has arrived on this block, and we are the corner house, and it is here now.
Bravo, Tim. Bravo.
Tim Bicycle, nobody ever expects the naked man.
Nobody ever does. And hey, you know what? 2 out of 3 times it works out.
First of all, if you've watched this show before and you don't expect somebody to be naked at any point, then you don't know anything about
this. You have no fucking clue who I am.
No clue. He's the madman. Underwear knows no bounds in this place.
Underwear knows no legs or crotches right now. So
that's how we know you guys are good people, because we're naked and celebrate Halloween. Look at it. We're on the internet. Go to any other podcast that's going on this week. I bet you none of them are dressed the way we are.
As universal creatures. Great job, everybody. Accidentally perfect. Congratulations on being accidentally perfect.
Speaking of people. I do want to give, because she's watching, good credit, because they're hanging up on my wall. It's the artwork of Katie. I have to watch it, damn it. And it's the creature from the Black Lagoon chilling at the pool. It is The Bride of Frankenstein, you know, drinking her hot latte. And it's Dracula chilling out in some blood, listening to some music.
That's awesome, bro. And I really like how you gave us that Cloverfield effect. As you just kind of went, look at all this stuff.
I brought another monster into the show. I love it. So,
right, bravo. Which I really like that one. And I want to go to that party. I want to go to a rooftop party for New Year's where I get hammered before a giant Godzilla-like monster comes down and destroys the world.
I do not want to do that. At all. In any way, shape, or form.
Fair.
All
right.
I can't outrun myself. How am I going to outrun?
One vote in each column. Tim, where are you at on that?
It seems like a good time. It doesn't last very long, though. And everyone seems kind of pissed at each other. That's a catty group of individuals.
Actually, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. They were all shit humans. But that's notwithstanding.
Everyone, you're not really rooting for anyone in Cloverfield.
I was rooting for the DP the whole time. I was like, come on, director of photography. I believe you can make it. Keep running.
I will tell you. I was not rooting in any way, shape, or form for New York. And I had friends there. Still do. And just everybody that was in that movie, I was just like, if this is New York, then I kind of hate you. You kind of suck. And I know it's not. I know it's not real New York. That's just a bunch
it is.
Of,
it's called cities, bro.
Real idiots in their 20s.
And real New York. A different New York.
No, you leave New York alone. Shut your mouth.
I've seen enough Law and Order SVU. I get it. You can't have 20 seasons about how shitty a city is and how many terrible fucking things happen, all based on true stories. So between Law and Order and Law and Order SVU, we have what? Approximately 42 years worth of cases of horse shit that happened in one fucking city. Casey, so you know what?
Casey, you are blowing my mind right now because it's true. It is. It's literally... The whole thing is ripped from the headlines, and it just says the city sucks.
That's what it is.
It just says the city is just murder and murder cesspool.
Yeah, but you have a rad prosecuting attorney.
Which one? Sam Waterhouse?
McCoy, man.
Oh, player.
All right, I've tried to ignore this question for an hour. Is Casey Fulling committed to the role tonight, or just Cameron? No, he's naked.
He's naked. He's 100% naked.
He's naked.
Whoa,
No.
Whoa, the names have been flipped.
I don't need to get kicked off of YouTube with this show. He's naked. We're not letting that one roll. He's naked.
They both got to see. I got a sweet white.
No, only I got to see because I put you in the green room, and still saw your naked ass run to the bathroom.
Well, you can't miss it. It's so bright. I'm pretty sure I signaled an airplane. It just reflected out the window, and it was very uncomfortable.
I'm not saying anything because I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I should have worn my sunglasses tonight.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of colors here, and then they don't all match up. And this is just so uncomfortably bright right here. As the light is reflecting a different way than the other side because of how white I am.
I love it, though. You're translucent. It's wonderful. Before we go, though, maybe not the horror special that you fit into, but which one would you, at any age, would have loved to have been a part of?
Tim, what you got?
Oh, it's definitely the Boy Meets World, I Know What You Did Last Summer ripoff. The best Halloween special, hands down. And the fact that Will Friedle was dating Jennifer Love Hewitt at the time. So, I know people get really worked up. They're like, wow, he's really aggressive when he goes after. I was like, okay. Well, after I found out they're dating, it kind of makes more sense. But they don't ever say that in the show. But and she calls herself Jennifer Love Pfefferman. And they die by books being fallen on them. It's Scooby-Doo meets every slasher you've ever seen. But it's also integral to the plot. It's this whole psychosis of Sean not being able to handle Corey and Topanga together. God bless them. I don't even think that was a Halloween special. That was just, they just went with an episode and went after it. So I will say that would probably be the one that'd be the most fun. Now I will, before I go, I got one more. The weirdest Halloween special I've ever seen is Mark Summers' Mystical Magical Special.
What in the fuck?
What? Yeah, I need. I
Dare Summers? Double Dare Mark Summers. Double Dare.
Yeah, Mark Double Summers. Dare Mark Summers. So I, like, you know, I was looking up, like, oh, like, best Halloween specials or whatever, and I wanted to see some I hadn't seen, like, this year. And it happens to be on YouTube. So if anyone wants to see it, it's on YouTube. It's just him and four kids in, like, one of the, like, more famous, let's call it magic shops. And it's just kind of magicians, like, effing about for 20 minutes. And, like, there's a little bit of a plot in it, but it's just Mark Summers. And, like, he disappears for a minute. And then, like, the kids are kind of mad. It is the weirdest, like, 20 minutes of television I've probably ever seen. Like, because Mark Summers also doesn't like children. Like, that's what right. people... Don't, like,
yeah,
people like Double Dare. He was like germaphobe who like hates children, doesn't want to be around them, can't touch them. But he runs this.
He loved the job. He loved what he did. I mean, I love the interviews with Mark Summers to find out what if like he just the antithesis of what you saw on TV every time.
So my favorite, like the Roseanne specials is one I belong in. Some of my favorite, my favorite by far, the Boy Meets World ones. There's like, I think there's three or four, but. As far as the weirdest, it's definitely Mark Summers' Mystical Magical Special.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking weird, bro.
All right, so real quick on this as I look it up. Who would you say the biggest star in the Mark Summers' Mystical Magic Special is?
It's Mark Summers.
Nope.
That's who I thought.
They may not be star. They became the biggest stars.
Christian Bale.
No. Oh. That's a good guess. Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, man.
And Sherry Appleby from Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
There were two of the little kids that were with Mark Summers on that show.
Well, Jonathan Brandis, of course, bro. I mean, Sequest all day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sequest. Well, I mean, Never Ending Story 2. He was in lots of stuff.
Oh, I'm not saying he wasn't fantastic in other roles, but Sequest for me Sequest was a defining role. I loved him in Sequest.
He talked to a dog.
He was what Wesley Crusher was supposed to be in Star Trek. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, he was a lot more important to it.
That was the one part in Star Trek that if they could have pushed that character that way, it would have been better.
Save that, because I want to have an episode where we talk about Sequest, because okay. I feel it deserves it.
Fuck yes, it does.
I love how our podcast just like, I have future episodes now. It's very bizarre, and I remembered it ever since my childhood. John says Lance Burton, or Jonathan Landis.
Lance Burton Brandis was in it, too. Wow, okay.
Landis wasn't in. He meant Brandis. So reading that, and Sherry Appleby is probably the biggest star to come out of it, because... Vampire Diaries was actually a really big show at some point.
For like 9 seasons or something?
But like the candy show that Mark Summers did is probably still more popular than Vampire Diaries.
To us.
Right. I mean, Double Dare Forever, bro. I mean,
Double Dare Forever, for sure.
Between Double Dare and then Legends of the Hidden Temple, bring me a better one. Unless you remember the arcade game with Mikey. If you remember
Nick Arcade. Do.
Yeah.
They played like Sonic on like arcade. I don't know.
But that was remember, they only did Sonic and arcade like at the very end. Before that, it was Paperboy. It was like all those Super NES games. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I need weirdest ones from you guys. Like I dug pretty deep for that one. I need to see.
Yeah, you dug like super deep, and I don't know where else I could even go.
A weird Halloween special. You know, it's not, I don't know that it's weird, but it was super creepy.
I mean, I always remember the there was a ABC after school special that they talked about worrying about what's in your candy. That always fucked me up. No, legit, it made me not want to trick or treat anymore. I was like, they put these terrible things in there. But now going back and watching it, when they would have a razor blade in your candy, it was like just a normal wrapped candy. And then they would cut, and then they would cut back, and it would literally be like a fucking shaving razor in the thing. And I'm like, well, that wouldn't look like that if it was wrapped properly. So that's kind of my strangest one, because they were fucking liars.
You know, it was a weird one I remember as a kid, and the host of it was Shelley Duvall. And it was like a Disney one.
Okay.
And also the Halloween tree was pretty weird. But there was like a Disney Oh, what was that one with Tim Curry where he plays the witch?
Is it Something Wicked This Way Comes?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
We can find out real quick. Or
yeah, internet.
Because there's like there's Something Wicked, and then there's like there's another Disney special that they don't really talk about anymore.
Halloween Town?
The Worst Witch.
Oh, The Worst Witch was awful.
That was a weird one.
God, that was awful. That's
definitely weird.
Now, if you wanted to go into Disney Halloween, that's a whole nother episode.
Bro, can we actually talk about the fact that Hocus Pocus focuses so much on virgins? It over-sexualizes everybody.
Literally ends with the virginity. He says he had to wait for a virgin to light a candle.
Yep. That fucking Binks has to throw that line in at the end. Like, where have you been, Thackeray? Well, I had to wait.
But we're left to believe that he won't be a virgin for long.
Theoretically. Because it was very important back in 1992 that everyone get laid. And they know about getting laid. And if you were a junior, that was another thing about, what was the Jim Carrey movie, First Bitten? So his whole thing about the fact that he was a 17-year-old virgin getting ready to be 18 was so fucked up by it. Like, What the fuck, society?
Are we led to believe that like Ice and his homie like got laid? Because those guys were a mess.
Bro, no chance. Like they were just, hey, you got a butt?
Well, I mean, it still counts if they're having sex with each other.
That's true.
Valid. Yeah.
John says, Sherry Appleby was on Roswell, by the way. Yes, was. And that was a great show, too. Mm-hmm. ABC Family, quit lying.
Dude, ABC Halloween Tree
is my jam. I understand, but it is a weird tale.
I think
it should be watched, though.
It's not bad. I actually think that one's just, it's a Halloween tale. It's like a ghost story. Have cool ghost stories.
John, that's a great point. The 70s Addams Family Halloween is really bizarre because it was like 10 years after the show had ended. The kids are all grown up. And they're like kind of revisiting. It's
Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah. Everyone can skip past that. I know it says number two, but it's actually the first one. Wrath of Khan.
I like Motion Picture, but there's I have to be in the right mood.
I do too, but I fully accept what it is. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. I like it as well. But again, I like it because it's. It is a Star Trek original series movie.
Yeah.
It's just a long episode that you kind of just have to kick back and be like, dude, please don't sit like that.
What? Why?
Because you're super naked and I know it. And it's just.
What's the matter? It's weird
because the way we have the screens, it's almost like your Dingle Dangles by Tim's head. And I just don't want that.
It actually, in fact, wait. Hey, buddy.
Hey! Wait, no, I have to turn this way.
Casey, quick, let's sandwich Tim in. No, I'm just kidding. Anything can happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat, Tim Curry.
It's a
wonderful sentiment. I will say, real quick, we talked about the weird. We talked about the ones that we feel we'd best fit in. What is one, just give me one, that you want to be in? One Halloween special. I will say this.
Sabrina, I know
it's
crazy.
I know it's weird. I want to be in Charlie Brown. Bunch of kids seem like they have a really kick-ass Halloween party, and I want to go to it.
Did you pay attention to that movie, bro?
I'm not Charlie Brown. I'm not getting picked on.
Yeah, I mean, the Great Pumpkin is awesome, and I mean the dancing they get pretty wild now.
Okay, they do get down, and who doesn't love Ludwig on Beethoven?
You know, Christmas time is awesome too. They're raging out at Christmas time. Yeah. So we're good. Like I need to live in that universe. Any of the Home Improvement episodes, Halloween episodes? Yes, we talked about that on his show the other day. The Perfect Ten. How about you guys? What's a Halloween one that you would? Like, you know, if you could, that's where you'd go. You want to go there.
Tim, what you got?
So I think I had the Boy Meets World one earlier. That would be probably one for sure. One would be really fun to be in because it was so like Tom Green was the Elvira Halloween special. like just that like guerrilla shooting they did for that one, and just like be like a guy in the background with a skateboard and like Elvira just walking around like MTV.
You know what? Actually, I'm changing mine. That's an awesome one, but I'm not changing it to Elvira. I'm changing it to any Halloween commercial from the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, the Six Flags Halloween commercial. If I could be anywhere, I'm there. I am forever there.
And we used to go there. We used to go to Fright Fest every year when I was a teenager, and it was awesome.
Still never been to one. I've never been to a major theme park during Halloween.
Get back here so we can go. Get back here now so we can go. We'll party. It'll be fun. Maybe not a major theme park because it costs like $700 to get into.
Yeah.
and I don't blame you for not going, honestly.
I'm poor.
but I will say that, this. Bro. Halloween commercials from back in the 80s and 90s, the worlds, the universes that those commercials lived in were just amazing, and I love them. That's the world I want to live in. All cool stuff. It celebrates Halloween. Great food. You know,
always great food. Everyone was so happy. It was like a fucked up Virginia Slim commercial, you know, like, hey, smoke cigarettes. Life's great. And it's like, yeah, have Halloween. You got, like, everything's wonderful. Like, it was true. I think of how many kids. Do you remember when they did the costumes with like a Kmart? They would have advertisements or Sears mm-hmm. for the costumes for Halloween coming up. Those kids were so fucking happy and they got to do whatever they wanted. There was no question about it. They just got to go live their lives. Yeah. 80s commercials, I guess, are, you know, that was the pinnacle of humanity.
It's true.
never top it.
Mick, oh my God, that's so correct. The 80s Halloween commercials are so much better than reality. 90s, too. Early 90s especially were really good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, early 90s,
Casey, Cedar Point has awesome
and Halloween still costs games. Money. That's so far away.
I don't know where Cedar Point is.
It's in Ohio. Ohio.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Going to Ohio.
I've been there once. It was fantastic.
You could come to Michigan Adventures. I don't know if there's anything going on for Halloween, but that's
I will go to Michigan for the Dogman Adventures. That's it.
Thank you for opening your house to me, Tim, and I possibly will just randomly show up one day.
I'll be at Dan's house, and you'll be at Tim's. And
Casey, yes.
Casey, have a shed.
Hey, I love sheds. I'm a shed guy.
Well, you have to put on clothes or you are in the shed.
Chance.
I want to bust out of McDonald's Happy Meal trick-or-treat bucket and scatter candy everywhere. Can I ask a question real quick before we go? I know we're running long, but it's Halloween. You know, let's have fun. How are, with all the nostalgia, especially that McDonald's puts out every 5 minutes, how are we not getting the Halloween toys from back in the day remade?
Bro, fuck the toys. Where are my Halloween buckets? Remember when I had a ghost and a pumpkin and a witch and a fucking, there was something else. There was a black one. I don't know.
It was a ghost. The witch was green. The ghost was white. And the pumpkin was orange.
There was
a black one for a little while.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. I think it had fangs, either. But like it was very short-lived.
Yeah. But I just like, where are those, man? I got where's the my daughter to trick.
Where's the Coors Wolf? The Coors Wolf man.
Yes.
Bring him back.
Holy crap, I forgot about him.
I still have my Fright Night Bud Light mug with Spud McKenzie dressed as Drac.
What?
Bring it back.
Bro.
Get him. Like, I don't understand why we're not adopting this. Like, we need petitions.
Maybe because it would fucking offend somebody.
I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, the Coors Wolf can't offend anyone.
Hey, George, I see you. I see you, brother. All right.
I have a spare room. You're welcome anytime. Very sweet. All right. Come on, McDonald's. The scene snobs are telling you, get your shit together.
Step your shit up. Come on, McDonald's. You already fucking hurt us everywhere else, bro.
Really do.
I mean, you keep raising your prices. Why does a slice of cheese cost 75 cents? Be logical. It's not real cheese.
George sent me the picture of the bucket. So there wasn't a black one.
Mac the Knife. Sorry, it was a totally different thing. I'm thinking of
Mac the Knight, and it was the big moon head.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I dated a girl one time, and my brothers, because she had like a long chin, my brothers said like they called her Mac the Knight. It was funny.
That's brutal. That's not funny.
It's brutal. I didn't call her. It was kind of funny. I mean, I know, but it was
some of us with giant chins take mild offense to that.
It was not, Casey. You do not have the chin she had. You calm down with that because it's not true. I am going to show the buckets real quick because I was thinking there was a black one. There isn't. Yeah. It was one of the witches' buckets because there were different variations.
Oh.
Had a black top.
Oh, all right. Maybe.
And he sent me the different. It's actually a picture with all the variations. And I'm going to put it up now for people to see because we had cool stuff. But I like those little chicken nuggets that you could dress up in costumes.
I forgot about those. I had a witch chicken nugget. Yeah. And there was like a spaceman chicken nugget.
Oh, I remember these things.
There they are.
Oh yeah. Tell me those were awesome.
Those are cool.
And we had so many cool things like back in the day that were like horror related, not just a Halloween, but remember creepy crawlers?
Yeah. Creepy crawlers.
It's so like they had so many fun
like stuff. It's like the easy bake for freaking messed up kids.
Exactly. It's exactly what it was. Because you had your easy bake oven and then you had these weird spiders. And if you want to make gummies and worms. I remember you always freaked out this kid sister. It was like, ah! Yeah. Well, yeah. I love that jam.
The most horrific toy from the 80s, though, is the Dream Phone.
What was the Dream Phone?
Do you know? It's a Cinemassacre thing. You guys, if you ever look up Board James, look up the Dream Phone episode.
Okay. I will. I'll check that out for sure.
Was the dream phone
was like it was
games?
One where like you like got on a phone and you had to like gossip about like it was like you had to figure out what boy was calling you.
Oh, then, I know what that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Yep. These things were awesome, and they made like a couple different variations of them.
It's like the
not just for Halloween, but every like for like 3 years in a row, every Halloween they had some kind of monster one.
Like, they were just like screwed up California raisins.
I love it. Bring those back?
It was at the exact same time, too. No, you're totally right, Tim. That was the same time as California raisins because they were all dancing and those ones would move versus the raisins who were, you know, functionally good singers and actual entertainers. But
yeah, at some point they were. Not quite sure when, but I am going to say I think it's time to wrap things up only because we're running long and our TV station doesn't love that because they cannot cut. I keep getting every time we go over, which has been like every week since we've joined this TV station.
Yep.
They keep messaging me and they're just like, we can't cut you off because it's still good. Like people still want to watch it, but you're cutting into other people's time. And I'm like, hey man, we're the Scene Snobs. We do what we want.
No, we probably should be more respectful, but we love everyone for hanging out and listening. And that's what matters.
True. I will say, Tim, thank you so much for coming on. You know you're always welcome on.
Oh, thank you. Amazing. It's really fun.
In fact, we need to get you back on Real Combat too, because I need another good movie to watch. Guys, thank you so much. Real quick before we go, I do have a couple of things I need to run by you guys. And that is this Saturday night, if you're in the Virginia area, Casey and I will be live from the Hideaway Cafe. Now, you can watch us online and have some fun times from 4 to 6 p.m. But if you are in the area, I suggest you come out and hang out at the Hideaway Cafe because afterwards, we will be hosting horror movie trivia. And we have some very cool prizes and giveaways in person for you guys to come check out. We're even going to have candy dishes. It's going to be amazing. I will be in costume. Please do not go in a costume you're in tonight, Casey. It is children will be there. I cannot allow this.
Mixed children might be there.
Chicks, yeah, they definitely will be.
My child will be there, so don't worry.
So we got to tone it down a little bit with the nudity. Maybe topless. I'm okay with that. I like you. You got a good figure. That does not give you value, though.
No, of course not. No. My looks are only because of my meat bag. That's all it is. It's what in here that Christ. Matters.
What? Of course you went there. I love you. All right. So also go check out our reviews of Dune and also Night Teeth. Just check out the review, not the movie.
Bro, I don't know. I'm halfway through. I'm still enjoying it. I can't wait to go head-to-head to you with these reviews.
Yes, I do want to do that with you. We did have a very special episode of the Scene Snobs podcast that was live on Saturday night where we told ghost stories and things of that nature because we had a hiccup in our haunted house or haunted hotel excursion. But we did wind up having a fun episode anyway, so go check that out. If you are interested in anything Scene Snobs, sign up for a Patreon, merch, anything like that. Just listen to the either just listen to the end credits and we'll tell you what to do, or just go to thescenesnobs.com. We have links there. Until next time, thank you, Tim, for being on the show.
Thank you, Tim.
Everybody,
you're amazing. Tim, can anyone find you anywhere? Do you have stuff going on? What's your life?
You guys are what I have going on. Let me tell you,
fucking glorious, and we hope you keep coming on.
That and Tim is along with a slew of other great hosts on hashtag Sunday Scares on Twitter. Every Sunday night, it's a double feature of just awesome horror movies.
Yeah, we're doing a marathon this week from 12 to 12. We're doing a Sunday Scare-a-thon.
It's yes, awesome. And I'm super excited for it. It is an awesome lineup of shows, which I will put up on the Scene Snobs social media. You can follow us anywhere. Again, just listen to the end credits and you'll know where to go. And then besides that, Case, how about you, man? What you got?
Got a whole lot of nothing. Love y'all. Be good to each other. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later, and love you, Len. Take care.
Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm Mick Manhattan, the Scene Snob, and you can check out the Scene Snobs podcast live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, or you can check it out on any podcast platform or our YouTube channel anytime after that. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. If you guys want to join, check us out over on thescenesnobs.com. We have links for everything. The Scene Snobs merch store is open. You can check that out too. Links again on the site. Or like, follow, and subscribe on all of our social media. Again, head over to thescenesnobs.com.